I have been friends with Sid Roth now for 30 years. We first met in 1984. And as long as I've known Sid, he's burned for two things. He's burned to see Jewish people saved, come to faith in Jesus, come to know Yeshua as their Messiah. And he's burned to see God's power, not in some abstract way, but to see God's power demonstrated in the changing of lives and to the glory of God. And Sid has recently returned from a trip to Israel. And what happened there is quite extraordinary. And I wanted Sid to share this with you today. Sid, I've been with you so many times on radio and TV. It's my great joy to welcome you to my broadcast today.
It's a privilege to be with you, Mike. I heard a little bit as I was waiting on hold. It sounds really good. I think you finally moved into the realm God wanted you in.
Yeah, Sid, you encouraged me in the early days about 6-plus years ago getting on daily radio and have been encouragement ever since. Sid, before we talk about Israel, how is it that you have been able to burn so consistently so many years? I've never known you to be way up, way down, but steady, passionate for the Lord these many years. Is there a key or keys you could share with my listeners?
You know, I wish there was. I can just tell you what happened to me. And as a result of what happened to me, that's the answer to your question. When I was 30 years of age, I got deeply involved in the New Age. If you ever read the book or saw the movie The Exorcist, I lived it as a Jew that did not know anything about Jesus. I had nowhere to go for help. And the worst night of my life, I cried out, Jesus. I mean, I didn't want to live. I cried out, Jesus, help. And the love of God flooded my apartment, and I have been, if God would say anything to me, I would do it. Now, that was over 40 years ago, but I can tell you that experience of the reality of the devil and the reality of God so burned inside of me that, to me, it's natural to always be red hot for Jesus, always put God first. It's not it's not something I ponder. In fact, I ponder how Christians can backslide if they had a clue of what I've just talked about.
Yeah,
that's what I ponder.
You know, Sid, I remember Nancy and I were with you and your dear wife having dinner, and we asked a question. Okay, you pray for the sick. What about unbelief? What about struggling with doubt? How do you overcome that? And the question baffled you because you're so full of faith. At a practical level, Sid, when you came to faith, what happened to your marriage? What was going on at the time you came to faith, and what happened afterwards?
Well, I was separated from my wife for about a year, and that was the time I dabbled in the New Age. And the very first words that God spoke to me when he revealed who Jesus was, not so much a man told me. I knew in my heart Jesus was my Messiah because I prayed a prayer. You know, it wasn't a Billy Graham special. It was two words from a man that didn't care whether he lived or died. Jesus, help. And the first words I heard from God was, I hate divorce. Return to your wife and daughter. And although I left my wife because it was a bad marriage, this was God talking to me. And I didn't say, let me think about it. I said, yes, sir. And Joyce and I have just celebrated our 50th, 5-0 wedding anniversary.
Wow. That is amazing. That's incredible. And for those who question these supernatural experiences, friends, that was not the voice of the devil telling Sid that he hated divorce and that Sid and Joyce needed to be joined back together. And obviously, Joyce has been tremendously transformed by the same gospel that transformed you.
You know what was kind of interesting? My wife was raised Southern Baptist. When she got to college, she said she didn't want to call herself an atheist, so she called herself an agnostic, but all faith that she had was driven out of her. And then when we got married, she became she converted to Orthodox Judaism, so you might say she was a Southern Baptist agnostic Orthodox Jew that didn't know Jesus. And so it took her a couple of years, and she was committed to making the marriage work, And I started out like a firecracker, and we started one of the first Messianic Jewish congregations, not the first, but one of the first in the United States, which you were part of, many years after we started it. And we had a wonderful Messianic Jewish rabbi that did all his preaching about Jesus from the Old Testament. And in particular, he preached on prophecies that were fulfilled. And one day, Joyce was a home alone, and she said, "You know, I cannot deny that the Bible is real. I cannot deny." And there's all because of the prophecies about the Jewish people. The whole history of the Jewish people was laid out all in the Old Testament, including everything about Jesus, and which is what the first church had. We didn't have a New Testament. And she said, it wasn't like me. It was just like, I cannot deny this anymore. And that's how she got saved.
Now, Sid, you have been a passionate soul winner as long as you've been saved. When God changed your life, you wanted to share that with others. You have now a massive TV ministry, your radio ministry for many years. You travel and speak publicly. Are you basically now a professional evangelist and you do these things on radio and TV, or do you still share the gospel privately?
Well, anyone that knows, that goes out with me, knows the answer to the wonderful setup you had for me, Mike. And that is, I'm interested in the waiter. I'm interested in the person cleaning the restroom. I'm interested in the president of the United States. Just put me in front of someone. And I not more than a day or two go by that I don't either lead someone to the Lord or planted a lot of seeds. And again, that's natural to me. That's just, you know, as I like to say, all you have to do is follow the Bible naturally. Like, for instance, there's a whole debate on the supernatural. Let me tell you three words that'll explain who I am to anyone listening. I have a purpose in life. My purpose is to win souls to the Messiah, period. No other. I have a strategy. My strategy comes from the Bible. I call it the law of evangelism. It's when God wanted to reach the world, he started with a Jew, Abraham. When Jesus wanted to reach the world, he said, "I go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." When Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, wanted to reach the Gentiles, he said in Romans 1:16, "I go to the Jew first." I call that the law of evangelism. I have found out that when I prepare materials or I go to the Jew first in whatever city I'm in, it opens up a supernatural door for me to reach more and by the way, I'm interested in everyone, Jews, Muslims, Gentiles, everyone coming to know Jesus. But I can reach more Gentiles by going to the Jew first than by going to the Gentile first. And then I have So I have a purpose, I have a strategy, and then I have a method. The method is the Bible method. It's called Plan A. The church, by and large, uses Plan B, mental apologetics. Mental apologetics are very good when someone's interested, but most, especially Jewish people, have spiritual scales on our eyes. I have found how to penetrate the spiritual scales, and that is signs and wonders. People see my television show, It's Supernatural, and they think, well, he's just doing that because he's crazy about signs and wonders. No, I'm crazy about souls. And I know this, you didn't release it, but I know I saw with my very eyes a miracle in Jerusalem, not just Israel, but in Jerusalem, that to my knowledge has not occurred in the history of modern-day Israel, that tells me something prophetically. Can I go in and explain?
Tell you what, I'm going to jump in right now, and we are all eager to hear what's coming next. We come back, Sid is going to tell you what happened in Jerusalem and the effect of this miracle. Friends, my son-in-law, Ryan, has often traveled with Sid. This is no hype. This is reality. And my dear friend Sid is not just doing this on TV. When he goes to the mall, he walks the mall, look for people to witness to, and in particular, he looks for Israelis that are found in malls all over America selling different things, and he shares the gospel with them. Perhaps God's stirring you now to begin sharing the gospel more openly and to go to the Jew first. So what happened in Jerusalem? We'll find out in a moment.
For Truth. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's the voice of Paul Wilbur. He was on the air with me last week talking about this amazing new docudrama, Let the Lion Roar. He makes an appearance on it as well, as does my dear friend Sid Roth. Well, I'll get to that in a moment. First, Sid, let's go to Jerusalem. What happened on this recent trip?
I did what I call a lecture on the supernatural. I've done this all over the world. But this isn't Berlin, Germany. This is not Washington, D.C. This is not Paris, France. This is Jerusalem, Israel. I rented the largest auditorium I could in the city of Jerusalem and promoted a lecture on the supernatural. I also asked believers in the Messiah not to come. They like to come to my meetings because they'll see miracles and perhaps get one for themselves, but I knew that I only had room for about 550 people, and I didn't want no space for non-believers. Well, we jam-packed the auditorium. Mike, 550 unsaved Jewish people that had never heard the gospel before came to my meeting. Now, this is what happens. I can't make it happen. I wish I could, but I can't. I'm not a healer. The only healer I know is the Messiah. And when I start the meeting, and they don't know I'm talking about God, they don't know I'm talking about Jesus, they just know I'm Jewish, and I'm going to give a lecture on the supernatural, and I advertise people will be healed. Now, Mike, you're a smart man. You can understand what would happen if I start talking about Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, and there are no miracles. They would either get up and walk in mass towards me, or get up and walk in mass out the minute Yeshua's name is mentioned, Jerusalem, no less. Immediately, I had what the Bible calls words of knowledge. I knew about what people were being healed of. I spoke the word, and this is before I even spoke. I mean, I get the mic, and boom, I get these words. It happens all over the world. So I spoke these words, and about 20 people raised their hands. These are unsaved Jewish people, and they say they've just instantly been healed. That gives me their undivided attention. And for the next hour and a half, I shared my lecture on the supernatural, which was the most supernatural thing I know. And that was the testimony I spoke a little bit earlier of how I came to the Lord. And but they stayed in their seats, and then I gave the invitation at the end. And this I've never seen. First of all, I've never seen so many Jewish people stand up to be saved for the first time in their life. Second of all, I've never seen what I'm about ready to tell you. And I said, how would you like to know the same God I know, have the same love I have the same peace I have? Everyone that wants to pray a supernatural prayer for the Torah to live inside of them and to know the Messiah, I want you to stand up. And in mass, 525 of the 550 stood up, made public professions of faith, and I might add, we're following up with all of them in what's called the Alpha Discipleship Course, and I am still in awe over what God did.
And you present clearly what this means. You don't just say, add Jesus in, you know, whatever other gods
you have. Oh, no, I talk about sin and righteousness and judgment. I list the sins. I said, look, if you're having sex outside of marriage and you think you're going to end up being where God is, you're meshuggah. You're crazy.
Yep. Yes. I mean, yes, Sid, this is unprecedented. It's some of the fruit that's coming from the decades of sowing what you've sown. But that's utterly remarkable. To get the people to come is a miracle. To get them to listen and stay is a miracle. And then to have those results is a miracle.
By the way, I did, for those, I went to Israel on my last tour to Israel, was about 8 months ago, and I had something similar that happened. I had half the number of people, and most stood up. And I've had, and I won't mention the names publicly, but people you know, the most outstanding Messianic Jews in Israel, one of them wrote me a scathing email. He says, Sid, don't you understand? Only one or two Jews come to the Lord in a year. That can't be true, what you said. Well, fortunately, on that meeting, I documented it with videotape, and on this meeting, I documented Praise it God. With videotape, so they don't have to take my word.
Amazing. That's... Yeah, and the eyewitnesses are there, and then the lasting fruit is there.
One of the eyewitnesses is your own son-in-law.
Yeah, that's why I referenced him. And he's a reliable reporter as well. He's seen it, and he's also been with you, as have I, in the restaurants as you're sharing the gospel with the waiter or with the person as we're leaving the restaurant. If there's souls, I know you're going to go after them, along with the 97-year-old man, Jewish man in the nursing home that needs Jesus that you'll go visit. Sid, I need you to stay on one more segment if you can, but 1 minute. We've just got 1 minute. You appeared on the Let the Lion Roar docudrama dressed in concentration camp clothes. What was that like?
Well, of course, my family is from Poland, and short of a miracle of God, I wouldn't have been alive today. I was born in the United States. I literally felt like I was in that concentration camp. I mean, something supernatural happened to me, Mike, and I stood up. And I said my lines, but it wasn't, I mean, I was like a different person. I was like someone in the concentration camp. I was just thrown back into that. And then when I finished, and I'm not saying this for applause of man, but the entire crew, all the TV people, everyone connected with it, stood up and applauded. But it wasn't me. It was something special that God did at that moment.
Yeah. Friends, this is something to see. And Sid, I've got one more question with you, and that is, why is it so important for the church to understand Israel? We are both Jewish, and we both feel it's important for the church to understand God's purposes for Israel and God's ongoing call on the Jewish people. But it's not for either of us a matter of being Jewish, and that's why we do it. If God sent us to Mongolia, we joyfully go. Why is it so important for the church as the church, for Gentile believers as Gentile believers, to understand Israel and God's ongoing purposes for Israel? Why does it matter?
Well, Paul put it this way, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that the Jewish people would be saved. I would give up my very salvation for my brethren after the flesh. It is at this moment in history that God is supernaturally removing the spiritual scales from the eyes of Jewish people. Now, I believe that Malachi, the last chapter, Amos, the last chapter is about ready to take place. And Amos says, in the last days, God will restore the tabernacle of David. The word tabernacle could be translated, as it is in English, tabernacle, but it could also be translated house or family of David. Who's the family of David? The Jewish people. And it says when they are restored, it will trigger the greatest Gentile revival that the world has ever seen. It says there'll be so much fruit in Amos, and read it in this context, there'll be so much fruit at the harvest, they won't be able to get all the fruit off the vine before it's the next season to harvest again. And we have never had a harvest like that before. I report as an eyewitness that Jewish people, most people don't know it because they're not even sharing with Gentiles, let alone Jewish people. I'm reporting to you right now, God is doing something amazing with Jewish people. As a brand new believer, I came in the early 70s with a move of God's Spirit on the Jesus people, which hit Jews as well as others. But there has not been a move of God's Spirit until now. And I believe those that are reaching out to Jewish people right now, right at this moment, are going to see a greater openness than they've ever seen in their life to be a catalyst for the greatest Gentile revival in history, and then Jesus is going to be here.
That, friends, if that does not light a fire in your heart and stir vision, then you need to ask God to save you because something is missing. Sid, I'm looking at the pictures at Sid Roth, S-I-D-R-O-T-H, sidroth.org. I'm looking at the pictures of your meetings in Jerusalem. I'm looking at the picture where it says nearly 525 out of 550 unsaved Jews stand to publicly profess Jesus as Messiah in Jerusalem. I'm looking at the picture and the people standing through the auditorium. And if that's the harvest that we're seeing among Jewish people, what does that mean for the fullness of the Gentiles? Sid, it is an honor to have you on the air, and thank you for your ongoing testimony of faithfulness to the Lord. We bless you and believe for greater things in the days ahead than we've ever seen.
And I pray the same for you in Yeshua's name.
Amen.